Welcome to the CRE Shark Eye Show, where we discuss commercial real estate. This is your host, Ishai Breslauer. Here we meet every Monday to talk commercial real estate and prop tech. We will dive deep into the different asset classes, discuss the market, talk about the new and exciting technologies, meet key people in the industry, and get some inspiration. Let's begin. Hey guys, before we start, I just want to point out the 6 best secrets for commercial real estate. It's a free download. Go to the text side and you will find it. It has absolutely great information, completely free, how to become a landlord, how to determine the value of a property, or creative financing for commercial real estate. All of it is completely free. Go download it. Also, I want to point out my CRE crash course. It's a 2-week must-have program with a must-have skills for commercial real estate, like investment strategies, the must-have financial terms, how a deal is done. Go take a look at it, go to the text side and click on the link. And now let's continue with our program. Hey guys, how are you? This is Ishai Breslauer, your host of the CRE Shark Eye Show. Hope you guys are doing fantastic today. Today, we're going to talk a lot about the 1031 exchange. With us today, we have Alex Olson. Alex, thank you so much for being with us.
Happy to be here, man. Yeah, it's great.
And you know what? I'm so looking forward to this conversation. We're going to dig deep into it. But you know what? Before we go into anything, tell us, you know, give us like a 2-minute elevator pitch about your business.
Yeah. So the reason why we exist at Exchange CRE is we are a brokerage that focuses on representing 1031 exchange buyers, meaning a buyer is under a 1031 exchange deadline, and we are going to help them find a replacement property for their 1031 exchange.
Perfect. And we're going to dig deep into it. But you know what? Before we go into that, how'd you get into this thing called real estate?
Great question, as always. You know, it's funny that there are some places, in fact, but there's not a ton of Bachelor of Science in Real Estate degrees out there. So most all of us, you know, come from different places. So I had a degree in graphic design, a degree in marketing, and a degree in economics. And so I spent 15 years in consumer finance, fell in love with real estate, actually, when we started to build my wife and I's dream house, believe it or not. Because you start to learn about financing and construction loans and, oh my gosh, we increased the value of our house just while we were building it compared to what it cost to make. And with that, I decided, you know, hey, look, we've got a lot of money in my house. Let's tap into that. So I started buying real estate and, you know, using a home equity line of credit. And then really from that, met a mentor by trying to buy his property. And he said, Alex, man, you should go out and get your real estate license. So that's exactly what I did. Fell in love with helping buyers acquire real estate and, you know, learned a lot about the 1031 exchange in the process. And here I am.
It's awesome. Really awesome. And you know what? It's I love to hear usually the stories about getting into real estate. Because it's such a journey, you know, people get into all kinds of stuff. They go to study all kinds of other things. And all of a sudden, they find themselves in the real estate. And the interesting part is that you're not just a classic brokerage for real estate. You're not just selling, even not residential, not even selling commercial. You are doing 1031 exchange. And that's something that you probably all of a sudden bumped into. I'd love to hear that part of the story where you bumped into this thing called, hey, there's this cool thing that you don't really have to, like, you can defer your taxes. Meaning when you found out, tell us a little bit about that, you know, epiphany that you had all of a sudden.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, so interestingly enough, Logan Freeman, I'm not sure if you know him, but he's here in Kansas City with me. And I met him and he recruited me over to a brokerage that he was working at. And I really saw what he was doing. And he's like, look, man, I like working with buyers. And I said, I do too, but you know, buyers are liars. There's a million of them. And he said, yeah, but have you heard about a 1031 exchange where you can defer all of your taxes when you sell a property and then buying a new property? And I said, no, what is this thing? He said, yeah, no, I mean, this is where you defer your taxes and you know, you've got 45 days to identify a property. And so these buyers that are in this deadline, you know, nobody out there is really helping them. And we live in a cash flowing market. So we have people from out of town that want to buy in Kansas City, in Kansas and Missouri, that are looking for cash flowing properties, and they're on this deadline. So they pretty much have to find something. And so he kind of taught me a lot about the basics of that. And I was like, holy cow, there is a lot of people that really need to find a replacement property that's at a great price. And oh, by the way, you know, it's a lot of fun because we get to help them select property management, you know, a local lender that we trust, insurance, all these different things to show them a lot about the Kansas City market. And it's just, for me, it's a great joy working with buyers because we can work with so many of them. You know, so many brokerages focus on the sellers and listings and going after listings. And oh my gosh, I can't wait to get that listing. Whereas our approach is different. We have off-market deals that we work with the sellers on, but we really like working with buyers and formulating a plan because the seller, they've already built their wealth, right? Because they bought the property, you know, 2, 3, 5, 12, 25 years ago. A buyer, they're focused on building their wealth. And so that's what we really like to do is help people build their wealth through a 1031 exchange.
So you know what? Here's what I want to ask you. You know, before, because a lot of people do know about the 1031 exchange, especially the people who are listening to me right now. But for those who are not that familiar, sometimes you have some beginners who want to find out more. If you could give us the one-on-one, you started giving it to us, but if you could like walk us through the 1031 exchange one-on-one, what it takes, what does it take? I just sold a property. I'm looking for a new thing. You're working with buyers. What is the process? Tell us a little bit about the process and what do people need to know about it?
Yeah, so great question. So 1031 exchange is a federal IRS guideline. So it's not state specific. So New York, LA, you know, California, Missouri, wherever you're located, doesn't matter. So you can use this strategy anywhere in the US. What it allows you to do is defer all of your capital gains on a property that you sell by selling that property, finding and buying another real estate investment property that costs the same or more than the property you're selling. And you have 45 days to identify up to three properties. And you have 6 months from when you close out your property you're selling to close on at least one of those three properties. And you have to do that through what's called a qualified intermediary. There's many out there. There's many that we recommend that are really good at holding your funds and trustworthy because as part of a 1031 exchange, you can't touch your money. So if you're selling your property and you're like, man, I don't know if I want to do a 1031 exchange, or maybe you've already sold it and closed out, you have the funds in your account, you're too late. You have to hire a 1031 exchange qualified intermediary to hold those funds during your identification and closing period. So that way you're not taxed.
Tell me something, the 45 days, just to make sure everybody understands, the 45 days are for the acquisition, for the closing, for, you know, which part of it?
Yes, the 45 days is for identification. So you have 45 days from the moment you close. Yeah, you can identify up to three properties. And there's some nuances within the number of properties you can identify. Sometimes you can identify more, but then you get into other detailed rules of the exchange. So the simplest way, if you've never done an exchange, is to stick to the basics of three properties within 45 days. And your qualified intermediary kind of controls when, you know, how late in the game, so to speak, you can identify those three properties. Some allow you to text them at 11:59 p.m. on the West Coast that, hey, here's my three properties that I want to identify. And they can be in any market and they can be on any asset class as long as it's a real estate investment. So you can identify a piece of farmland, a vacant lot, you know, a grocery store, multifamily building, high-rise condo, whatever you want, as long as it's an investment real estate property.
Right. So tell us about that an intermediary. What do we need to know about that?
A qualified intermediary, the secret is it can be anybody. You could be my qualified intermediary. However, you have to be at arm's length. So your real estate agent can't be your qualified intermediary. Your broker can't be your qualified intermediary. But typically a qualified intermediary is a very trustworthy CPA and or an attorney. And they can be located in any state. They can be located in New York, even though you're buying and selling in Missouri or whatever. But they hold your funds. So the qualified intermediary, you hire a qualified intermediary that works with the title company. So when you're selling your property, this qualified intermediary is talking to the title company, provides them a bank account, essentially, that the title company wires funds when your property closes to the qualified intermediary. And they hold on to those funds until either A, you buy another property, replacement property, or in the rare case you can't find a replacement property because you didn't find, work with the right broker, then they give those funds back to you and then it's a taxable event. But that's what a qualified intermediary is, basically storing and holding those funds. And they're also writing down, of course, your key dates of when you sold it and the three properties you identified and when you closed out the three, one of the three properties or more. So they handle all of the back office of your exchange, so to speak. And they take a small fee, $200, maybe $500, maybe $1,000, maybe $2,000, depends on the size and complexity of the deal that you're selling.
Right. What I want to go now is to actually, and you started talking about it, the type of property that usually people are going for, because it could be anything. It could be a vacant land, you said, multifamily, of course, grocery stores, pharmacies, the small boxes, whatever it is that is, could qualify to be that one. But what is the most desirable type of property that people go after?
At least from our clients' perspective, it's multifamily and triple net lease properties. Multifamily because it's the most common, right? Everybody needs a place to live. And you got the best appreciation and best terms and all that kind of stuff. And then there's triple net lease. And the reason why people are after the triple net lease neighborhood retail shopping centers is because they're very low maintenance on an owner. Sometimes you can manage them yourself. That's might have five or six tenants. You might have two, you might have one. And you're going to hear from them once a quarter or less, because triple net means that they're paying all the taxes, they're paying all the insurance, they're paying the rent, they're paying everything. And so you might be responsible for maybe a sign out front or maybe a parking lot or, making sure that the building's actually being taken care of by the tenants. But those are desirable and they're a little bit higher cap rate typically, but they're not going to appreciate quite as much, but they will cash flow. So it's almost like a coupon clipper, where you are just taking in the money. You sold maybe your 25 unit apartment complex for a couple $1 million, and which was a huge nightmare for you because you were self-managing it. And now you sold that and you're exchanging into a neighborhood retail shopping center that's maybe anchored by a Dollar General that, you've increased your basis, your depreciation and your cash flow.
Right.
And your life is a lot stressful. So that's a pretty common scenario.
I want to go for a second for the triple net single tenant type of property, which is probably what you're dealing with a lot. Nowadays with the environment of retail today, we know that a lot of things are changing and a lot of people talk about the environment with pharmacies that are being threatened by the e-commerce revolution, Amazons, et cetera. What do you see? Because you are in the field. I want to hear your perspective.
Yeah, so those definitely are obviously a riskier than they once were, right? Used to be Walgreens, CVS Pharmacy, whatever was on every corner. And they still are. But you also see headlines of hundreds of stores, hundreds of centers closing. And then you look to other types of retail. And yeah, absolutely. Anything you get on Amazon or similar is a bit of a threat. The types of properties that we put our clients into is going to be something like I mentioned before, Dollar General, Family Dollar,
right.
Dollar Tree. And the reason why those are very interesting, one, they're on long-term leases. Two, they're a growing entity. Three, they're recession resistant. Most people go to a Dollar General, Family Dollar, Dollar Tree all times of their economic position, right?
Right.
So you go to Family Dollar when there's a recession. You go to Family Dollar when there's not a recession. It's just they all have a very good balance sheet, and they all have long leases, like I already said. And so they're just a good quality tenant. And then you have other ones too, like a tire shop. You can't get tires on Amazon yet, or at least you can't get your car serviced on Amazon yet. You might actually be able to buy tires. I have no idea. But you can't get your car serviced. You know, nails and hair salons, you can't get that on Amazon. Then you have some other regional national tenants, like maybe a Boost Mobile or even a T-Mobile, and maybe a long-term restaurant or something like that as part of the tenant mix that, you know, none of those can be gotten on in e-commerce.
Right. I'm stopping you, but that's already, meaning it sounds to me like a little bit of a different discussion. That's where I want to lead you for a second. Because the tenant mix is more, how do you say, a discussion for the shopping center type of a situation. And you've mentioned, you know, hair salons and nail salons and spas and all that kind of stuff. And those are not typically the triple net type of clients. So, meaning, do you deal also with those? Are they come into that category of 1031 exchanges? Tell us a little bit about that part.
Yeah. So, I mean, those smaller ones I was talking about, like the nail salons and some of the, they're going to be a smaller tent. Moms and pops. Yeah. They're going to be a smaller, and they're going to be part of that center potentially, just to diversify across the neighborhood retail shopping center. When we focus back more on the single tenant, you know, then we get into even some more industrial types, right? And those might be a marble and granite countertop shop. And those marble granite countertop shops are going to have very heavy equipment. They're going to have very long-term leases. They're not going to move. They're going to be recession resistant because, you know, they're in construction, and that's just always been a good market to be in. Then you have other industrial warehouse and storage that's a single tenant that, you know, again, it's usually heavy equipment, right? These people have heavy equipment in there that they're not going to want to move around because it's very costly. And the buildings themselves are in good condition because, again, you know, it's an industrial building. You might have 10% that's office piece of that. And the other 90% is storage of their large equipment or manufacturing. And so those are the types of tenants that also are very popular because that's even, you know, if you get into the single tenant world, that's even more popular because you can definitely manage that yourself because you got one tenant, one large building. You know, maybe it's a 6.5, maybe it's a 7.5 cap rate, depending on how lucky you get, how long a tenant that's been in there.
They completely manage it all. Yeah.
Yeah. And so those are great coupon clippers. They're harder to find. And they can be have a lower cap rate than some of the other ones. So it just depends on exactly what you want. Everybody has a little bit different criteria of what they're looking for in the market. And single tenant's a great option for those that are looking for, again, a coupon clipper, something easy to manage and get out of their nightmare of an apartment complex and into a single tenant operation.
Tell me something about banks. You know, the banks used to be also like this popular triple net single tenant. What about now with all the, you know, the branches closing and all that stuff? What is your feel from that? You know, that.
Banks are right now not an investment building unless it's a small bank, you know, a small building where it has just enough space. You know, you're exactly right. You go by these large banks, Bank of America, U.S. banks, even our regional banks we have here, they're massive buildings. And with everybody either working from home or bank consolidation, you're like, man, what's the need for this big space? And well, the answer is there really isn't a big need for that big space. And we even have banks approach us and say, hey, look, you know, do you have any tenants that would maybe share some of this space from us? So I think banks are also getting creative with their buildings that maybe they're like, hey, let's parcel off some of this big bank office and either sublease it to somebody or lease it to somebody else. So banks haven't, I mean, they've kind of figured it out, but I think they're pretty slow going on that. So that's a riskier investment. Now you might be able to get a heck of a great cap rate on it to where a large bank, they want to sell, or, you know, or landlord wants to sell it. You buy it, you could re-tenant that with a, you know, smaller square footage for the bank and then put in some different office, you know, suites in there or something like that. But it's definitely a riskier investment than it once was, for sure.
I want to ask you, who is your typical client? And I'm gonna explain my question for those who want to understand where am I going with, with this. The one type of client could be this guy who is not even doing real estate, or this lady who's not doing real estate at all, and they want, you know, risk-free, headache-free, that kind of approach, a property that it's the triple net situation where they, like you said, take the coupon, finish. They don't have to deal with the property at all. There's no headache whatsoever, right? It's this industrial with a small office in the corner and the storage and whatever it is. Or it could be even, you know, in the older days, a pharmacy, or even today, a type of a pharmacy. They don't have to deal, or grocery store. They don't have to deal with anything. It's all being done and dealt with. And they are not real estate people. On the other hand, you have those real estate firms or businesses who are doing acquisitions constantly, whether it's more aggressive, less aggressive, but they need the movement. I just want to understand in terms of your activity, because some people are telling me this, some people are telling me that. I'm curious to hear from you what type of clients you're mostly getting.
Yeah. So our typical client is, I mean, to be honest, it's a little bit of both, more on the newer investor, meaning they've have a duplex, a fourplex, maybe a 12-plex, maybe bought two or three different properties in the past, and they're ready to upgrade, right? How do they upgrade? So then we coach them on how to upgrade. We bring them in. We talked about, here's your options. You know, here's how this works, all those kind of things. That's probably 65% of our client base. And they're interested in any, like you mentioned, all those different asset classes. They're interested in, maybe it's a class A multifamily. They'll take a lower return on that because it's fewer headaches. Maybe it's a class B, single tenant type of situation where they're going to take a little bit of a lower return. And then we have, investors that are more experienced that are like you just said, right? They're continuing to upgrade over and over, or level up, whatever kind of word you want to use. On their acquisitions, to where they've done this 2, 3, 4, 5 times. And they're like, hey, Alex, what do you got? Or, hey, you know, hey, Logan, what do you got? And so we have an off-market marketplace, actually, where we have, and it's mostly multifamily on the marketplace, because that's just what's in the most highest demand for us that we can create a bunch of volume on. But that's probably, like I said, 35% of our clients is something in the rinse and repeat. They're doing this every 2 or 3 years. They might have a 5-year business plan, but they're exchanging every 2 or 3 years.
Interesting. Where I want to go right now, I want to shift gears a little bit and I want to ask you, you are in the Midwest. What's going on out there? Tell us a little bit about, you know, the market over there, the ins and outs.
Of course. So the Kansas City market here, it's a great market. It's a growing city. And the reason why it's popular, it's not just because it's growing. Yeah, that's great. Love it. People are moving here because of low expenses, all that kind of thing. But another piece about the Midwest and Kansas and Missouri that is popular with out-of-state investors is the very landlord-friendly laws. So on the multifamily side, you know, there's no rent control, zero, you know, none. There's no rules and regulations on what you can charge for rent, for any tenant that's on month to month. You buy an apartment complex, everybody's at $500 in rent, but they're all on month to month. In theory, you could go in there and say, hey, look, next month it's $1,500 a month. You're well under rented, or, you know, you can leave. And if they don't leave, you have the ability to evict them. So that's pretty popular, not because of people are actually doing that, because right. That's a, you know, that's a pretty extreme example, but it gives you all the tools you need to be able to come in and not have to worry about that. On the other hand, we also have low taxes. So low property taxes. So you're not really in the mercy of a certain percent of your purchase price. For example, in the state of Missouri, your tax actually does not go up based on a sale. So when you buy a property, your taxes don't automatically go up. They're evaluated every 2 years based on market conditions. And sure, it's going to take the whole pool of properties in your area or neighborhood to adjust the taxes there, but they're pretty typically, you know, pretty low. They're a little bit unpredictable, but they're low. On the Kansas side, your taxes do go up on purchase, and they're a lot more predictable. So they're a little bit higher, but they're more predictable. But they're still also historically low, or comparatively low to other markets. So those are a couple options. And then you have the rent to income ratio, which is, I mean, you know, usually at least around here and even in some other sub markets, you know, it's like 3 to 1, you know, three times your income is three times the rent kind of situation. Well, that's, you know, almost everybody can hit that here because rents are so low. What that tells us is that there's a lot of room for rent growth, and there has been a lot in recent years, and will continue to go up. So you're able to force appreciate all the different multifamily assets here. So that's the big draw for a lot of investors. And of course, it's a diversified economy, like a lot of Midwest markets, to where we're not hit by any single recession that comes in. You know, during the Great Recession, we weren't hit that bad. During COVID, we weren't hit that bad. We were pretty open. So it's just a pretty safe investment. You're not going to get 50, 80% appreciation every year, like some markets, but you are going to get 10 to 25, sometimes 30% appreciation if you buy the right asset. So it's just a solid market to invest in.
Look, it's how do you say, do your business in the Midwest. Sounds great. Lower taxes, better conditions, even the, you know what, the one thing you just mentioned that, you know, when the rent is low and there's room for growth, it's also stating that it's a safer investment environment because people know that their tenant will be able to afford their apartments. It's a big thing. It's very, very important.
Yes.
So that is huge. You know what? Tell me something. When a person comes to you, and I know it's from, you know, the buyer side many times. When we need a 1031 exchange, we need it now.
Mm-hmm.
So tell us a little bit about, you know, the juice of the conversation that, hey, do you have something I need, you know, how does it work when it comes to you in terms of your feel, the, you know, treating the client, feeling the pressure? Tell me about it.
Yeah, I mean, we're oftentimes playing a psychologist and therapist through this whole thing because it is pretty stressful sometimes, especially if you come in within the last, I don't know, 10, 20 days of your identification period and have nothing identified. But we have a pretty good process, right? So, you know, we have an off-market marketplace where they can go on. So they immediately can sign up and at least see what we have available. But what we really do is make them comfortable, right? So they come in, they say, hey, what do you got, man? And we say, okay, well, here's, based on what you've told me, here's two or three properties that we think fit your criteria. They may not, but let's take a look at them. Give me your feedback within 24 hours. Boom, they provide feedback. Maybe it's too high a price per unit, or maybe the location isn't right, whatever it is. We take that feedback, give them some more properties. Right now, we have 9 off-market deals that any investor on an exchange can come in and take a look at various price points. So we continue that feedback loop. And oh, by the way, while we're doing that, we'll also say, hey, look, we can get you comfortable in the market because we've got these 3 or 4 property managers that are going to be a good fit for this property type. here's insurance that we know is going to get you local rates that are going to be a heck of a lot better than your State Farm and your Farmers Insurance, or your Liberty Insurance, whatever your kind of residential stuff is. And then, oh, by the way, here's an attorney. Here's a local lender that's going to be able to close this out. They're not going to pull a last minute environmental need on something. You know, they're pretty upfront with what their needs are and what they need from you. So we really get them comfortable right away. And then it's just continuing to find a property that's going to fit their needs. And we also coach them on, hey, look, these three properties that maybe you're kind of like, I don't know if I want those or not. Let's get them identified. What happens if you get hit by a bus tomorrow, or you get run over by a semi or something where your legs are broken? Now you're in the hospital and you didn't identify anything. You've got millions of dollars of capital gains on the line. Let's get that secured. So we help coach them all along the way to feel as comfortable as they possibly can. And then we're also going to work very closely with the seller when it comes to inspection time, because that's key, right? You don't want to kill the deal over an inspection. So you got to make sure that you're negotiating very well with the seller and the buyer, get everybody comfortable, get this thing past due diligence. Let's get this thing closed out. And I think there's just a lot of comfort level in that conversation that the buyer really kind of gets behind when we're talking to them about it.
You have a cool story, like something that happened last minute, if you could share with us?
Well, yeah. Yeah. I mean, I had, this one isn't necessarily last minute, but it's a cool story where we had a buyer come to us that said, hey, look, I'm selling this property in California. I want high rents. I want amazing location. And I want it to make sense for me. And we'd done one other deal kind of with this buyer in the past. And I had been talking to a seller who had a building that had very high rents, an amazing location, overpriced on that side of the house. But the buyer told me, he's like, I don't care if it's overpriced. I just need it to meet these qualities. And the seller said, I'm never going to sell this thing unless I get the price I want. And I want too much for this. But as I was talking to both of them, I've been talking to both of them for years. So I kind of knew them. And I figured out that this would be a perfect match for both of them. So I put the deal together and had the buyer and the seller meet and talk. And they kind of started to know each other and got everybody comfortable, because I knew this would be a perfect fit. And everybody ended up being happy. It was closed out on time. Everything was great because I knew exactly what they both wanted. And that's really kind of what a lot of times is about, is trusting your real estate advisor to help you with exactly knowing what you both want. You know, even at the end and the beginning, it helps pull it all together.
I love this story. Here's the, you know, the juiciest part, I guess, of the conversation. This whole talk around the government, the laws, the new moving away 1031 exchange, which everybody thinks could be devastating. What is your take on it? We're not talking politics. I'm just from a real estate perspective, but and what type of world could it be without it? Can you give us your perspective?
Well, I think the good thing about those of us that are in real estate and understand the 1031 exchange, there will always be some kind of creative vehicle that we come up with to exchange in and out of real estate. Maybe it's not a 1031 exchange IRS guidance, you know, guideline. Maybe it's some other vehicle. So I am always optimistic about exchanging in and out of real estate. People are always going to want to get in and out of real estate, you know, in and out of different properties to leverage up, regardless of the exchange. I mean, we have a lot of clients, frankly, that come to us that sold a property and say, hey, look, I sold it. I paid my taxes on it because I don't want to think about it, but I still want something else. So I want to get something else. So from that perspective, it is at times you think about it, it's like, man, it's a little scary. And then you also go back and you look at least the latest proposed laws. Maybe it's 500,000, maybe it's $1 million. You know, that's an average purchase price here in the Midwest of somewhere around $4 million that you could still, you know, you take your million that you're going to defer taxes on, you know, you can buy a $4 million property here in the Midwest. You know, once you get up into the $10, $20, $30 million where you're deferring $10, $20, $30, $50 million of capital gains, that's a world we don't really play in anyway. And I understand the frustrations it could be for those people, because the 1031 exchange is an economic driver across the board. You know, you think about all the brokers involved, you think about all the title companies, attorneys, all that kind of stuff generates income for the government on some level. So, in short, I think just like interest rates rising, it would be devastating if they took away the 1031 exchange, but then there'd be a new normal we'd all get used to and have to adjust with it. But I'm very confident that there will be no changes to the 1031 exchange in the near term. I just don't see it happening, getting through any part of Congress.
There'll be too many objections. I agree with that.
To
get that done, because it's such a beneficial thing. It could really not only kill a market, because the real estate market is one of the most stable markets, you know, in the US and around the world. But I'm saying all in all, and all of a sudden you're creating something that will block transactions, that's not so great. So I believe that it's going to be kept and going. Listen, it's a pleasure speaking to you, Alex, and it sounds like you have so much experience with this, and the 1031 exchange is really something that you live in, and it's a part of you. And you guys that are listening, if you're as impressed as I am, you have a 1031 exchange situation, you call Alex, and you hopefully he will save you, and he will get you the property that you need. Alex, it's such a pleasure. Tell us, you know what, you guys can see the links above and below. Alex, tell everybody, where can they find you, whether it's LinkedIn or a website? Go ahead.
Yeah, so alex@exchangecre.com is my email address. It goes directly to me, obviously. Exchangecre.com with an X, like you see, I guess it's on this side behind me. And then I love LinkedIn, just like you and I talked about before, connecting with people there, talking about ideas, interacting with LinkedIn posts, etc. You can find me, Alex Olson, on LinkedIn, and look forward to continuing the conversation and seeing how I can help out.
Beautiful. You guys heard it, and strongly recommend it. Alex, thank you so much for being with us. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, man. It's a pleasure to be here.
Great. It was great. You guys, I'm going to see you in the next show. Take care. Hey, guys, thanks for joining me in this CRE Shark Eye Show. I hope you enjoyed it. And go subscribe, download, do whatever you guys need to do. And I'll see you in the next episode. Take care of yourselves.